every 2 hours all night long. Why are homeless people being routed by your laws?
Of course, Howard Zinn's words were...
Well, would you like me to paraphrase or quote it?
Either way.
Why don't you quote it for us, Robert?
Let's see. You know, I'm going to have to paraphrase it.
Okay, go ahead, paraphrase it.
It's something along the lines, in 1996, he was asked about this at a meeting up at on campus. What do you think of the sleeping ban? And he said that he felt, I think we should interrupt the sleep of people who pass such laws. And so, I guess, David, you are recommending sort of a midnight wake-up call for certain city councils?
Yeah, we did the staying awake, we did the sleeping without blankets, and now we have to do an actual bit of, like, phone work at night.
And do you have any phone numbers that you think people...
Well, they're in the phone book, and, Mr. Rockin especially has said that he would take a phone call at any time, any hour, on any issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's already a given.
And Catherine Byers is also in the phone
book. Also in the phone.
And her phone book number is 426-6108 for those who don't have a phone
book. But the thing is that we would like people in the role participating in Rolling Fast. Now, you guys may be doing something a little different with your sitting-in kind of protest. But the Rolling Fast to me is not only to call up those who are not willing to call up at night, but what they can also participate in the Rolling Fast by doing sit-in at the daytime. One person at a time sitting inside the city mayor, city manager's waiting room, waiting to talk to either the city manager or the mayor. Every 2 hours we have a different person there. Okay, we need people to sign up for that. Sign up by calling the Green Party number, 425-4499.
425-4499. Or you can call how?
425-4499. Yeah, give us those names though, Robert.
Say again?
And be sure to give us the names of people because we want to sign them up on the certain shifts.
Sure.
And we should coordinate our effort.
We'll be coordinating, and I think I've given you the list so far of the names.
I've emailed it to you, too, and right now Roxanne has the most up-to-date list, so I'll try to get that from her.
So, yeah, we've
been... This is an all-citizens alert. I mean, you know...
We're going to need people next
time
week.
Time is now.
We're going to need people next week to do this city manager... city council waiting, I call it waiting for sugar since he is the mayor.
We're going to need people to bring coffee and donuts for the people to come there in the morning.
Right, and we're going to be hoping to have, actually, for the first few mornings, starting with Tuesday morning, we will be having hot soup and hot food for anybody who's hungry or wants it. And we're going to, you don't have to be willing to sit inside these boring offices for hours and hours while they ignore you and look at you as though you're a piece of trash, which is...
If there's union members that are wondering out there, you know, why they haven't gotten a raise from the city that, you know, is a decent raise, or they're wondering why they can be so easily fired for personality reasons of their supervisors, and if there's city employees that are wondering why their jobs are precarious or wondering why they're not really getting ahead, no, it's because there's a criminalization of the homeless that makes for the homeless to be more permanently homeless. And when you have that situation, your living wage situation cannot go up. So the living wage situation, the job condition situation, is kept at a low standard by having these laws that make sure that homeless people stay homeless more permanently by this kind of law.
And it's really it's depressing, and it puts people in a position where they cling to slave wage jobs because they're afraid of ending up on the streets and then having to, you know, to face not just homelessness, but criminalization because they're homeless.
And, you know, when we talk about the homeless, we talk about the people that are out there on the street mostly. But, you know, we've got to remember that in this county, especially having worked in welfare departments in other counties, this county especially, we have a high percentage of couch surfers, a high percentage of people that are truly homeless according to federal standards. You know, federal benefit standards, if you don't have a place of your own and you're sleeping on somebody's couch one night and maybe three weeks out of the month here and then 2 weeks out of the month there, or just, you know, just help them pay for the groceries by being allowed to sleep on a couch unless somebody's girlfriend comes in one night and then you can't, you're homeless by federal standards. That number brings the homeless population in Santa Cruz more up to 7,000, Robert. And we forget what kind of situation it is. So we have all the things, all the dynamics that are going on with housing, and all the dynamics that are going on with the moving in of populations into this county. Those people are very, very precarious condition. So if we have these kind of laws in the book, it's going to backfire real bad, and we need to get rid of them as soon as possible.
Wow. Well, look, David, we've been talking to David Silva, a guy who seems to still have his shit together in spite of starving himself for 4 months. So when are you gonna? When are you?
It's unbelievable that they let this festival go along. We try to keep it silent, you know, just let the city council know. And you know, we told them in the middle of December that we're going to be doing this. And it's a progressive fast to get them time to reflect their consciences. And what I get from them is that they're not allowed to vote. That's a serious situation, folks. Time to wake up. So I think it's a wake-up call for May.
I think you are far too generous with these guys. I think they're making choices not to vote, but maybe there is some evil genius behind all this. And I think that, again, it's got to be the community that serves as a countervailing force, as you say.
Well, if there's any good police out there that know of something that's going on wrong with, you know, with the police department, so is there some assistant deputy chief of police or something that needs to come forward and blow the whistle? Now's a good time.
Yeah, Rampart, it happened in Los Angeles. Time for it to happen in Santa Cruz. We need the, you know, essentially the cover lifted off this.
Well, the police in Santa Cruz have been acting for a long time now as the political agents. They've been acting in political manners. They've been not acting as social service. They've been acting as political parties, going into communities and telling lies about the existence, about saying things that's been repealed. And then trying to get street signs put up by using that tactic, that's political activity. You know, going into homeowners associations and working with them to get cops grants, and then scratching each other's backs when it comes to political fights of pet ordinances that they want to keep in place, that's political activity. There's something seriously wrong. The wake-up call, Santa Cruz.
Well, I remember Officer Howe is moving into Brett and Bob LaMonica for a table at the farmer's market when he tried to get the rent control measure there rolling.
Yeah, so selective enforcement when it comes to how we're allowed to practice democracy, free speech, petitioning, registration of voters, selective enforcement. And, you know, that's political police behavior. That's not allowed. This is America.
And I know that
claim America.
The independent investigation has gone nowhere of the May 22nd events, where, you know, the police essentially attacked a bunch of peaceful protesters. And I guess one man is now in jail, Steve Argue, and for defending a woman in that situation.
But, you know, you use the word attack like they were, like, you know, some kind of wild beast bullies. But you really got to look at it. They were really much more scientific and fascistic about it. You know, to actually go and single out single mothers that were carrying children and start attacking them, knowing that they would be worried about Child Protective Service and so forth, means that they were acting to try to quell demonstrations. They were acting in a political way.
Well said.
Understand that, Robert.
Well said. And aptly pointed out. And, of course, the attempt of the bureaucracy, the liberal bureaucracy, or the progressive bureaucracy, to investigate this through the first ever independent investigation of the Citizens Police Review Board was, of course, completely shut down by Attorney John Barrasoni. And I'd have to say, then Mayor Catherine Byers, who...
I'm still putting my bet on Arnie Left to come through.
Are you?
No.
Well, your money is...
I'm forever hopeful.
I think you're going to lose that money there. Left is still... I mean, when I'd even heard from a member of the CPRB that they planned that they were going to leak the report if there was no activity, you know, if the public was not allowed to see the results of its $10,000 report. But I want to point out to you that no police officer was subpoenaed in the course of this report. No police officer's testimony was taken in the course of this report. It's interesting. The police department's IA, Internal Affairs, has gone and interviewed the police. And on the other side, Diane Christensen has interviewed the protesters. And so you're going to get something that is persuasive to nobody. It's essentially, you know, what's been happening is protesters have been punished with long jail terms, endless court machinations, and then, of course, the threat of this stuff hanging over the head of people like Jim Costner, who still faces some judicial consequence for, quote, resisting arrest, and a whole series of arrests.
You can't be surprised by that, Robert, when you have a chief of police that allows the kind of police officers, you know, there may be a handful, there may be more than a handful, but the kind of police officers that he's heard reports from the Citizens Police Review Board, he's heard it from Internal Affairs, he's heard it from the citizens, he's heard it at city council meetings, he's heard the ways police officers have treated people, have talked to people on the street, have discriminated, he's heard the way police officers have been behaving, and for him not to have done anything about it, what do you expect, Robert, that there's something wrong with the police department?
Definitely a lot wrong with the police department. Of course, even more, I think, that we have to focus, just as you are doing, David, on the police department and not worry about these...
Their pet ordinance. The sleeping ban is their pet ordinance.
These
not. The Chamber
right.
Commerce doesn't own it anymore. The Downtown Association doesn't own it anymore. The Neighborhood Associations don't own it anymore. It's a pet ordinance of the police department. We have to remember that.
I think that the your critique of the police department is quite appropriate. That's where the focus has to be, not on these toy, fangless groups like the Citizens Police Review Board, which is,
Arnie's trying to reform the Citizens Police Review Board.
I have no confidence in Arnie Leff. I've seen him engage in the kind of abusive behavior that Sugar is doing in his meetings in city council.
Well, Robert, you have a tendency to make people a little irritated.
I don't think it has to do with me personally. It has to do with Arnie Leff wants to hold private meetings.
I don't know what's going on. I've been to Citizens Police
Review Board
meeting a long time.
Let me educate you on that issue, David, that Arnie Leff...
I'm just looking at the...
Yeah, let me educate you on the...
printed material, and the printed material looks like...
Arnie Leff...
in a direction.
Let me finish this, David. Let me just point this out to you and the audience, which is that Arnie Leff, who heads the Citizens Police Review Board, and Mayor Sugar have for the last 3 months stonewalled on meetings to reform the Citizens Police Review Board. And one can only point to the fact that some of us demanded open Brown Act meetings as required by the Public Participation Brown Act. As a consequence, Sugar and Leff have scheduled no meetings, zero meetings for any kind of reform of their body. I think his record is
good. Consequence, I got a call coming in and I can't believe it.
Listen, I want to thank you, David, for your interview. And
420-5017, that's area code 831, call City Hall, put decriminalization sleep on the agenda.
Exactly, well said. Thank you, David.
And that was David Silva of the campaign to end the sleeping ban. Very informative tussle with him there. And he'll be one of the people that will be waiting for Mayor Sugar. And hopefully you can be too. You want to join this movement to put the city council on the hot seat by putting your butt on one of the chairs in the city council mayor's, city manager's waiting area at City Hall. Well, give a call to 423-4833. Volunteer. We'll give you a time slot, or just come by and volunteer your time. We'll be starting tomorrow. I should say, yeah, it is tomorrow, Monday at noon, and you're invited to join us down there. And then every day in the morning, we're hoping to have some hot food. And if you got any, you want to volunteer, hey, bring that by too, around 8 o'clock in the morning at City Hall. This again is Free Radio, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor. 2.5 hours of civil rights talk, music, discussion, dialogue, and ranting. And usually phone calls, but today there are no phone calls because I'm out of town and this is a tape. You want to leave a message for me, 423-HUFF, 423-4833 is the number to call. I'll be happy to reply. If you want to raise an issue on the next show, hey, we'll do it. Next show is 6 to 8 on Thursday on this station in the evening.
Give jingle and you're hungry. And the jingle bells don't jingle anymore. Have a merry, merry Christmas and a happy New Year day. For now's a time of plenty, plenty's here to stay. But if you knew what Christmas was, I think that you would find Christ is spending Christmas in the cold Kentucky mine. No, they don't have Christmas in Kentucky. There's no holly on a West Virginia door. For the trees don't twinkle when you're hungry. And the jingle bells don't jingle when you're poor.
That was Phil Oakes' Christmas in Kentucky, one of those songs you won't hear anywhere except here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, unless you look, well, friends with his sister, maybe. Some time ago, beginning of last month, there was a table in front of the Del Mar Theater called the Sleeping Band Repeal Table, run in large part by a man named James Ney, who's now working full-time, hasn't got time to do that, but he's going to be involved in the, of course, upcoming city manager, mayor, council protest down at their offices where we're going to be waiting for them to respond. He'll be there on Thursday. But he was arrested, ticketed three times, as were other people, for chalking on the sidewalk in erasable chalk. And we've kind of covered that issue in past shows. There was a particularly heated incident that occurred involving the proprietor of Alibaba's Cafe, a man named Ali, who he has a longer name, but that's the name I know him by. His little kiosk is right in front of the Bank of America Instateller, located conveniently near the hosts, the Downtown Information Center, the green-shirted eyes and ears of the police force. Ali has acquired a rather bad reputation for informing on, it's trying to impose his own will to silence the music, what he regards as inappropriate behavior of young people at what's called Hippie Planter, the sort of planter area where a lot of young countercultural people gather near the New Leaf Market. And on this particular day, he was giving out tickets right and left, and some of the folks who he was giving tickets out to, some of them were for chalking on the sidewalk, some of them for other things, were responding to him. And we're going to continue playing a bit of that tape. I believe it's from April 3rd.
So I chose to sign, because I asked the officers, is there not a public profanities law? And they said, yes, there was. It's a penal code violation. And I asked why they would not cite the gentleman for this. And they said they chose not to. So I chose to make a citizen arrest.
And you did. Okay, so, but they chose not to cite him in spite of the fact that he was shouting about disturbing the peace.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So, what happened with this most recent ticket? Does anybody know? I know you're not so pleased with me, but what happened with this? You finally gave all, you complained about Alibaba?
Oh, dude, anybody, you can give him a ticket right now. All you do is say he threatened you or something, and go prove it in court. Yeah, you can give him a ticket. Anybody can give him a ticket. Oh, any one of us.
He gave him a ticket, too. You guys are both going to show up.
Oh, well, I gave him a ticket because after I got five tickets from that individual, right?
You actually gotten five tickets from Alibaba?
Oh, just now today in the last half hour.
How many tickets have you actually got?
Oh, about three or four.
I saw two. Was there more than two?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like four.
What were the other two for?
Basically, said I was disturbing his peace. And then I said, well...
When you get time.
I said, well, man, maybe this guy is disturbing my peace. And the police officer said, well, how could he possibly be disturbing your peace? I said, well, because he's lied five times saying I'm disturbing his peace. He says, oh, you can't just get back at somebody like that. And I said, well, motherfucker threatened to punch my lights out. I want you to go over there and arrest him. He says, well, we'll have to let the judge decide all that. But yeah, you can give him a ticket. And I said, well, go over there and give that guy a ticket. He said, all right, doesn't matter to me. Let the judge decide. Walked over and gave him a ticket.
But you said that Alibaba has been the cause of a number of tickets. Was it actually two or was it more than two?
Four.
Four. What were the other two for?
All same.
One was for chalking, one was for disturbing the peace. And those are the two most recent.
A couple of disturbing the peace ones. Trouble. You know, I don't know the codes. I don't have the tickets because I gave them to my girlfriend.
But these were all within the last hour or so?
Half hour. 45 minutes, yep.
Wow.
Four tickets, one individual.
Now, have any other people suffered tickets from him today as a consequence that you're aware of?
Actually, he has witnessed probably 50 people riding on the sidewalk, and I, to my knowledge, am the only guy who got a ticket.
I guess
and
James.
I didn't even touch the piece of chalk, so go ask me.
I guess James also. Oh, really? You didn't even touch the
chalk? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What's up?
The new pot deal, what's up with that?
So it seems that now a scarecrow, as some call him, have given Alibaba a ticket. Alibaba didn't want to talk to me, and I couldn't get an account from him, and as you heard, I became somewhat adversarial in the way I spoke. So could be I'm not getting any more free falafels, not that I ever did. So we have another tale from the lips of Dirty Dave. Hey, Dave, go ahead.
Yes, it seems like the Santa Cruz PD sure likes to harass people that sleep in this town. Like Mike Tomase, I'll say, because he's been here since 1961. He's a Vietnam vet. When he got back into this country, the people were throwing tomatoes and eggs at him, calling him a baby raper and baby killer and on and on. But he lives here. His aunt lived here. He grew up here. He came back here. He lives in his RV out on West Cliff Drive. The police ticketed him for camping illegally.
It's John Woolfolk. John, come on over.
What?
Of the Mercury News.
Oh, the reason why is because there is a man named Eric.
Hold up on the story for a minute. We have a Mercury News reporter here, eager to write a front page story.
Well, what's the guy going here?
It's the sleeping band table. We're having a protest.
We're going to start a riot.
Protest coming up here on April 11th. But the most recent.
Is that when they're taking it up on the?
They're not taking it up. They have the Homeless Issues Task Force's report, which may or may not have anything to do with it.
Uh-huh.
They probably won't take it up. We will be the ones who will take it up, just like at the last council meeting, which you probably read about in the Sentinel.
Right.
We didn't stop the meeting. We said we
down in front of the council.
Right. We had about 25 or 30 people in front of the council.
Right now, that even though I was laying on the floor, as they say, I stopped council. Did not. Living wage had no problem. Stated so. No problem stepping over the bodies. We made room at the podium. He approached the podium, he stood at the podium, and he stated to Mayor Sugar, "I'm ready to present, let's proceed." Mayor Sugar at that time, and I quote, stated, "I will not sit here while people lay on my floor," and adjourned the meeting and stormed out. It's at that point that Mike Rockton called us the fascists. Okay? The Sentinel statements are absolute lies. There's videotape of it. He was not heckled. It was not before the start of the protest, if you read the Sentinel article.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, it stated, before the protest, after heckling, well, there's videotape, was on the news.
Come on over.
Protest started with me wrapping in my blanket and laying down. There was no heckling.
Uh-huh.
At that point, Mike Rockton stated,
and actually what's going on?
Anyone who interrupts a democratic meeting by a duly elected body is a fascist.
So they also just ticketed
me for putting political statements in chalk on the sidewalks, which is protected by my First Amendment right.
You can't sign unless you're registered city voter.
Okay. You understand the First Amendment free speech is also political free speech that's upheld by the United States Supreme Court, that chalking on a city sidewalk, political slogan is protected under the First Amendment. Okay. The officers also say if I do it again, they're going to arrest me. So if you feel like being here tomorrow at noon, there's a very good chance I'm going to jail at noon.
Okay?
Because I'm going to again chalk on the sidewalks tomorrow at noon. And that will be within the 48 hours.
This is the list.
So Robert, what's happening next?
Well, I came down here today because I heard that apparently a number of irate merchants didn't like the chalk on the sidewalk, and it sounds like trivial.
I do that all the time, though.
Yeah, it is, and it's washable. It comes off. And it actually was the basis for a $20,000 lawsuit up in Berkeley when they arrested a guy up there named Christopher. Last name escapes me. Anyway, so James may go to jail on that. But actually, what's happening here is it's a new ban, kind of a push to decriminalize sleeping, because as of April 1st, two days ago, they don't have legal places anymore, even at the armory, for the 20%. We're with Cassandra Fox, who's a woman who speeds around town in a wheelchair. She's got a great hat which says, "I'm a shameless agitator, no nukes, and I'm too young to be this old." Cassandra, you wrote a letter about the sleeping ban to the Sentinel and gave it to them about a week ago?
Yeah, I did.
And I know that they printed one of your letters about a year and a half ago, a year ago.
Say that again?
They printed one of your letters about a year ago.
Yeah, they've always printed every one I've ever given them.
And do they usually print it within a week after the time you send it to them?
Yes, they do.
And you notice that this time they haven't?
No, they haven't.
Well, if they don't print it in the next few days, then I would have to suggest, because we've been having this concern too, that there may be a censorship factor here.
Oh, that's an awful thing to think of. Yeah, I don't like to think of that. I may go back and I don't know who the person is in charge of them, but
Definitely should ask them what the hell is going on.
should say.
Getting back to the case of Mike Tomasi, yes.
Yes, well, Mike Tomasi is as local as you can be. You know, he grew up here as a kid from 1961 on. He went to Vietnam, fought for his country, came back, suffered the hardship of having to go to war and then come back into a place where they didn't appreciate that he went to war.
And what's happening to him recently?
And so recently, the Surfing Association, it seems like one of their surfers association, has seemed to put it upon himself to call the police in and try to eliminate all of the homeless people in RVs from staying on West Cliff Drive out there at Steamers Lane, where there's no houses. We're not blocking any house's view of the ocean. We're not in front of any residential area. We are in front of a park on a street that has a... There's no signs that say there's no parking. There's only the sign that says there's no camping for Santa Cruz City. Violators will be arrested. And that's what it says on the signs out there on West Cliff. Now, even if you're a person traveling through Santa Cruz and there's no rest areas anywhere around here, and you're in your motorhome, federal and state laws say that you are allowed to pull over, stop, and rest, and sleep, so that you can continue without creating a hazard.
Unless you're homeless.
But see, they overlook everybody who has to live in their motorhomes, who are suffering in the streets, because they have no way of buying the property around here, because after the earthquake, the property values were increased as to create more revenue for the city, so that they could pay the mayor, and they could pay the city council, and they could pay this police officers and build a new police station and all that. Well, they hire 100 new police officers, I hear, 50 right before the first of the year, and 50 more after that.
I hadn't heard it was that many, but I know that a lot of people feel the streets are definitely over-policed.
Over-policed, very over-policed. And it seems like the police have nothing better to do than to harass the kids instead of dealing with the real subjects at hand, crime. They're not dealing with crime, they're dealing with harassment. They just go and harass the kids. They see a kid that they know has a search clause on him, they will instinctively walk over and search him down, and if he doesn't have anything, they just laugh and walk on to the next one. It's like a little game to them. It's not a game out here. If you're a police officer, you are out here for the people to stop crime, okay? You're not out here to hassle the community's children for being on the streets.
Did you mention, when talking about the reasons that they harassed the motorhomes up there on West Cliff, was for the surfers. The surfers actually came right out and stated, we're going to get rid of these homeless people. And when the officers came out at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, which a young lady friend of mine was one of the ones rousted, all they rousted were the homeless. They did not knock on a single surfer's RV or vehicle. They knew the surfers went to them. They knew exactly who was who. And all those that were surfers who sleep up there all the time.
This according to who again?
According to both this gentleman and a young lady named Mary. Okay? Who was up there and was woken, who has slept up there for a long time. And I will get her. She's you and her are never here at the same time.
Oh, we'd better get it together. Thank you, James. Your name, sir?
Drew.
Andrew, you got a ticket for...
No. Being out of the hash marks, which, by the way, I was within.
I'm sorry, what are you speaking of?
I was parked in parallel with the curb at Lighthouse up there, you know, on West Cliff there. And I was repeatedly, my home was repeatedly pounded on with a nightstick for, I'd say, various times within probably an hour.
And when was this?
This was today on the 30th. 30th
of March
2000.
That would have been on Thursday evening?
2:30, 3:30 in the morning or so. I was eventually given a ticket for my home was, apparently according to the ticket, was outside of these white hash marks.
Didn't give you a ticket for sleeping, but they gave you a ticket for inappropriate parking behavior.
Uh-huh. Which, by the way, was appropriate, though, because I was within the hash marks.
Right.
But just out of harassment, which is, it was nothing less than that, and it was fully harassment and violation. Yeah, I was given a $24 that's what they had to resort to, was a ticket like
How many cops were involved in this?
I myself only saw one.
You know the name of the officer?
No, I don't. Oh, but it's not a ticket, though. Citation.
Citation. Do you have that citation with you?
Not on my person, in my home. It is.
How long have you lived in Santa Cruz? A
couple months.
And have you been hassled before for any of this stuff?
No.
And have you been parked pretty much in the same area?
I try and change here and there, you know. Like, I don't...
You don't
respectful of all, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Any objection to my playing this on free radio?
No, not at all. Please do.
So what did you do the next night? Because that was several nights ago.
The next night I parked the same place. But the last couple nights I haven't parked there because I went out of town. But
you're back. You weren't harassed the next night.
No.
So it was sort of a one night sort of spoiling.
Let's clean them out of here. Let's clean them out of here. Mm-hmm. And by the way, they did only harass the houseless people. I didn't see them because after I realized I was written a ticket, I sat up and watched their actions and they did knock on one surfer's door.
And how do we know it was a surfer door as distinguished from a non-surfer?
Because I've seen them. I've seen surfers and I know
how many surfers were parked up there with you? How many vehicles of surfers?
Four or five maybe.
And so some vehicles are distinctively surfer vehicles based on, not you and I wouldn't know, but let's say if you knew the people you would know. Or,
yeah, and that's the only way I knew.
Right.
You know, but like I didn't hear or see of them bothering any surfer. But I certainly saw them knocking every...
So they bothered the surfs, but not the surfers.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
We're talking to
Steve Hibbett.
Steve, you recently came from a rather notorious place, and you're carrying your art with you.
Yeah, I just got released this morning. This is artifacts that I made out of pure toilet paper and cardboard.
And you did this because the place you were living did not allow the use of usual art materials.
In fact, they confiscated this stuff from me 2 weeks before I got out, and some of it got ruined because they called it contraband. Any cardboard or toilet paper that I used, they automatically say it's state property, so they tried to take my art away from me.
And what was the name of this place where you were living?
San Quentin State Prison.
I got you. And you've been there for how long?
Well, I did a total year, but I was here in Santa Cruz fighting a case for about 6 months, so I did only 6 months there, but I did a total year, actually 366 days, because this year's a leap year, so.
I have to ask you the obvious, what were you in jail for?
Well, originally, back in 93, when I was a drinker, I drove my third time, got out my third DUI, so, and they gave me a prison sentence for it. I did 16 months. Then I was out on parole for a 3-year stint, and they enhance it 1 year if you mess up. And the first year I was all right. The second year I shot up to Washington, which I wasn't supposed to go, for my brother's wedding, and I ended up staying up there for 3 years. So I absconded for 3 years, basically. And I, you know, they got me for that. And, you know, they stick you, you get the smallest violation, they'll stick you back in.
So you have with you, and I see these are a number of you got two large clear plastic bags with some cardboard boxes inside. You have some artwork.
Oh, yeah. This one right here, it's a really special kind of thing. It's a merry-go-round. It's all the cardboard and toilet paper. Like I say, the horses themselves are cut out of styrofoam. And I built it where each horse has its own individual wheel. And as you turn it, each horse goes up and down, just like a regular merry-go-round. And it's something to look at, you know, being that it's out of toilet paper. I mean, it came out beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I've been told by somebody who works the internet that I can get like $1,500, $2,000 for it. Because for one, it's from a state prison, and state prison art is a lot, worth a lot of money in the public. All right. Two, it comes from San Quentin, and San Quentin is worldwide known. It's death row. Three is that this one particular piece, it's called Memories of a Child. The reason why, I was originally building it for my daughter. She's 13 years old. But I dedicated it to a young lady. She was 11 years old. Her name is Annette Selick. And she was brutally raped and murdered by a gentleman who was in there. This was back in 1978, I believe. And he raped and murdered her. I mean, he raped her first, and then he threw her off of a 105-foot bridge alive. She had time to curl up underneath the bridge, and then she died. And I really had thoughts about her, so I dedicated this to her. And I actually have a dedication paper I wrote out saying who Gerald was. He was just put to lethal injection on March 15th, and I finished this piece on March 14th. So, you know, it's And then I, in the other box, I have other things like I made an old 1915 locomobile car, and I got a 1910 car in there. I got a really nice locomotive, you know. All pretty much worth money, but it was all built in San Quentin.
But at the moment, you have no home yourself.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none.
And in fact, you just hit town today? Or?
I just got off the Greyhound bus. I was just looking for an art store, an art gallery, to find out if they would want to even show it, you know, in town, which would also help me out because I don't have any money at the moment. My parole officer's not going to be in for another day or two, so
I don't want to be arrested for sleeping after 11
exactly,
o'clock at
exactly.
night.
Exactly, and I can't carry this art or work around, so I was hoping I'd find somebody. Maybe they'll show it. If not, then I'm stuck. I'll have to take it. And at the moment, I don't have a tent. I don't have a sleeping bag. I don't have nothing right now.
And if you did, of course, it would still be a $54 fine to sleep after 11 o'clock at night. Though, frankly, they rarely fine people. I mean, they can't arrest everybody, and they can't ticket everybody, and they don't.
Right.
It doesn't happen that regularly or that often, but it is a constant, you know, it's a source of apprehension.
Right. Now, when I was in San Quentin, I saw that came over the news that Santa Cruz is trying to open up a parking lot, you know, where people can sleep in their cars, but that doesn't help a person out like me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I still got to sleep somewhere, you know, and it would, you know, if I went to one of the parks, one of the state parks, if there's room, you know, you pay like $14 a day, but, you know, I mean, that gets kind of expensive when you don't have any money or a sleeping bag or a tent, really, right now. A camping ground should be, I mean, that Santa Cruz needs it for the homeless, you know. We need something here.
Sure, no question about it.
There's been times where I've gone and taken my tent, and I've just found some, you know, one thing about Santa Cruz and Aptos and what have you, you're closer to more of a wilderness type thing unless you're right directly in town, so... You know, I mean, I find the side of a hill, and I throw up camp there, but if a cop walked up on me, especially me being on parole, I go straight back to jail. And if they want to violate me, then I go straight back to prison. And I sit there until they release me again, and I start all over square one.
It's an endless cycle.
And, yeah.
All right, we have two hardcore criminals from San Diego. Your name?
Michael.
And you're?
Lorena.
And you sleep in a vehicle or outside, or what's the story?
Oh, I slept outside last night. I'll probably sleep outside again tonight.
And are you aware that you're violating the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban if you're within the city limits?
I wasn't aware of that, but now I am. It's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Don't you respect the law in our community, for heaven's sake?
Not a ridiculous law like that.
Take it.
Have you been traveling, for a while? What are your...
We're just doing a program at Sierra Institute at UC Santa Cruz, and we just traveled up from San Diego, but we didn't have a place to stay, so we thought we'd just sleep outside.
Typical. Flagrant youth, irresponsible felons wandering the streets. Officer?
So put it on my arm. It's about 5:30 on April 3rd, 2000. We're heading over to the sleeping ban repeal table to report that Mayor Keith Sugar has been seen going in and out of shops nearby. Got a call from Jerry Henry. Well, it looks like Mayor Sugar is chatting with James Nay. And John, you're doing some chalking on the sidewalk. Now wait a minute, isn't this an illegal behavior on your part, a green and the sleeping ban? And hi, have you decided to volunteer to sign up?
So we have a special guest here at the table tonight, folks. The mayor of Santa Cruz is here. Anybody wants a legal place to sleep, they should talk to the mayor. He's right here. He can perhaps direct them to an appropriate place.
Is this my pen or your pen?
It looks like it's yours because it's not chewed.
Oh, okay.
This fellow there in green, that's the one. Yeah. No, just walk up. He's friendly. He'll say hello to you. It's no problem. But that's my view.
Do you know about HCRC?
Huh?
On Fall Street?
Yeah, but he didn't want to go into the shelter tonight. I asked
I don't like the shelters. I'm very tired about shelters. Been there before. I don't like them.
Yeah. The thing is, where else can I sleep?
Well, I'd be happy to help you out, but you've got to ask him to turn his microphone off first.
He doesn't like to be quoted publicly. But if he's going to help you out, he can help you out with it, with the microphone on. Believe me, he can. He has the power to do it either way.
Sorry. I'll be happy to talk with you if you can turn that on.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you're chicken shit to even talk to the homeless with a microphone?
Apparently so.
Okay.
Thank you, Keith. Mayor Sugar is leaving, afraid again of the microphone. There's your mayor, Mayor Santa Cruz, the man who will not put the sleeping ban on the agenda. He's leaving, and he will not talk to homeless people in front of a microphone.
Mayor Sugar, big shit to know about the fucking truth.
She's offended,
our
man. Mayor Sugar, come back. We won't hurt you, Mayor Sugar.
We won't fight. We'll only be more.
Come on, Mayor Sugar. Don't be afraid. We're here. Don't be afraid. Don't be too afraid to talk to homeless people. It's okay. Come on back, Mayor Sugar. Mayor Sugar!
Let me talk to you.
Too fucking shit. Mayor Sugar is too chicken shit to actually talk to the homeless on a microphone, and frankly, that's a bunch of bullshit. I mean, if he's too fucking chicken shit to talk on the microphone and be heard, well, that's his problem. But where are we going to sleep at night that's safe?
Especially when she's 6 months pregnant, you know, we're in a bad situation, you know, where we're trying to get something warm, you know, a place to sleep and stay safe and no one gets hurt, you know. And that's what we came down here to do.
I'm too afraid to sleep on the streets at night. I'd rather be in a shelter where it's warm and safe. I mean, last night, I couldn't even sleep. Because it was too freaking cold.
Sometimes the shelters aren't safe enough because sometimes they let drunks in the place and they get all roused up and they, you know, the minds are somewhere else and they don't know where it is, and that's why I'm a little bit.
Well, even if you went into the ISSP program that Mayor Sugar referred to, that down at the Homeless Community Resource Center, you would have to go to different groups. You'd have to go to a women's group, and you'd have to go to a men's group. So you couldn't stay together at night.
Would that be acceptable to you or not?
No. That would not be acceptable because I'd rather have the father of my child with me at all times.
Yeah. But without her having next to me or anything, I don't feel safe, you know. I feel better if she's around me, so I know she's safe. And she knows I'm safe because while us being together, me and her have problems been separating.
I have a problem with not knowing where he's at. If he's safe, I get paranoid.
Chances are that if you did go to the ISSP program, they would find a place for you as a six-month pregnant woman to sleep in an area of churches. But chances are very good they would not allow you into the program because it would be too full for an adult male. So you would have a legal place to sleep and you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'd rather have him with me, though, because, one, I have to be wherever he is, I go. Wherever I go, he goes. That way we both know that we're safe.
So you'd really benefit if we had something like a homeless campground where
you guys could
set up a tent and have a little place that you could sleep at night.
If they can make a homeless campground, I don't think no one will be bugging anybody. You know, we would stay out the other people's way and the people will stay up our way and there won't be no complaints. I think everybody would be getting
have
along.
All the luxuries the same as the rich fucking people out here.
It's like the rich people out here, you know, look at us differently. You know, I had a sign earlier out today saying I had a wife that's 6 months pregnant and they don't believe us because we have a sign. Well, I pulled out a paper earlier today and there was my proof and they still didn't care.
But look at this.
Saying that she was pregnant.
Mayor Sugar, he is a rich motherfucking bastard. But why the fucking hell can he not put out some money to support the homeless?
Yeah.
Well, the city of Santa Cruz does have money that's allocated to homeless services, but all of the social services in the entire city amount to less than 1% of the general fund. Meanwhile, the police get 32.4% of the general fund.
So basically, the police get the biggest amount.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They get the biggest chunk.
Well, I basically put it this way. Take and do away with the fucking porkers.
Which was one is coming over here, which, you know.
We have a $113 million annual budget in the city of Santa Cruz, and the homeless budget is $1.5 million.
One thing I'd like to know, why is the mayor so scared to talk on the microphone? Because he knows he has to tell the truth over the microphones.
And he knows that someone who is 6 months pregnant can easily offend him and piss him off.
I think that he wants to divide us up. So when I came over with the microphone, he said, oh, I'll talk to you off to the side. I'll talk to you privately.
So you can say something else different.
He doesn't have to be responsible for it if he's off the microphone. It's just between the three of you. But if it's on the microphone, it becomes a matter of community record. And then he is responsible for what he says. And that may be something he just doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
Too chicken shit.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just doesn't know what to do, but he likes to pretend that he does, because that's what he's doing. He's running around here schmoozing people as though he knows what's happening and he's going to help everybody out.
Yeah.
But in fact, I've yet to see...
Basically, what my family calls politicians, hot air balloons. They're full of hot air.
Yeah.
Dig it. How have you folks been sleeping at the night? Where have you been?
Well, last night we slept outside real cold. We had no sleeping bags. We slept right into the place over at the center over there on River Street. It was open so we get some sleep, you know. And we didn't get much sleep at all. Our backs were hurting and everything, so there ain't no... You know, right now we're just trying to walk around until we get some change for something.
So you were indoors or out of doors?
Outdoors.
And what about the night before that?
The night before.
About the streets with the broom, James Nay. Hey, James.
Hey, how are you?
We just swept out the lobby of the defunct Del Mar Theater.
Yes, I did.
That's the theater from which people are supposedly barred, but the trespass signs are not up as they might be.
Yeah. Well, it also would have been nice if this officer right here in this police car, I don't remember, what's his
officer
name?
Officer Brandt.
Brandt, who came by and told me how I never clean up, all I do is make a mess, and that would have come over and apologized for his
statement. Officer Brandt apologized?
Because I do clean up so often here, other people's messes.
Now, I saw you kind of cleaning up your image by talking to Mayor Keith Sugar a few minutes ago. Just what was that about?
Well, that was about the fact of this owner of the Alibaba's, this falafel place here next door to me. And he was, earlier as I talked with you, very rude, just screaming profanities and totally out of line, having to be held back by a police officer. And Mayor Sugar, he spoke to Mayor Sugar and made claims to him, and Mayor Sugar actually spoke to a couple of the other businesses, Los Manos and Echo Goods. And so Mayor Sugar came over to speak to me about it and actually told me that he was, for once, on my side and said that the owner of the Alibaba's was totally out of line for his speech to me and said that he stated that to you, that he better back off, that he is blowing it, to quote Mr. Mayor. And I was very pleased by that. I'm not pleased about it. He did speak a little bit about some of the things that he is trying to do for the homeless.
And what might they be?
And, you know, these same old things we've heard, you know, trying to get the armory, although he said not just the armory parking lot, that he's trying to work a deal to actually get the armory open full time. Also, that he's in talks
You're talking about the armory. That's that large building at the end of an inaccessible road behind barbed wire, which has sort of like a garage concrete floor that they put people on, right?
Yes. A couple of inaccuracies there, because we're going to say this, it's more like a gymnasium floor.
It's wooden? It's a wooden floor?
Yes. That's where they do their drilling, yeah. It's not concrete, and although it's uncomfortable, it's heated, it has showers, and they do provide snacks at basically cost, the armory does, not the city. Some of the officers there, they each night bring in snacks that you can purchase for what it costs them to pick them up at Costco.
But they don't provide towels, let's say, for showers.
No, I don't believe so. I say that with a hedge because I know they've started finally, because of my saying it so often at the shelter, to provide towels there, so I don't know if they are taking some up to the armory or not.
I know you did work at the armory yourself about a year and a half ago.
Yes, I did.
In the fall of 1998. So there was Mayor Sugar conferring with you. Now that I'm feeling jealous that he's talking to you and not to me.
One of the other things he mentioned was that he's also in talks with certain local landowners to possibly get some private land here within the city to create a safe zone. Personally, I'll believe it when I see it. We've heard these kind of talks many, many times before.
Right.
He also mentioned that it is because he doesn't have the votes, and I said, well, Mr. Mayor, it's not just votes. We want to see discussion so we can see who the ones are that are obstructing this. And he says, well, everyone knows who they are. He says, in fact, what he suggests is that we climb all over Catherine Byers and Tim Fitzmaurice, because these are the two that are dead set against any changes whatsoever.
Why doesn't he climb all over the two?
He says he has. Okay, just not publicly.
Not publicly. Well,
that's what I told him. I says, that's why we should agendize it, so that the public can see that the two who are not, because it is true, Mr. Sugar has voted twice to end, you know, and been 6-2. Him and Crone were the only two that voted for.
5-2.
5-2. Right. Cool. I counted wrong. I do that often. Oh. But again, as I stated to him, I says, what you need to do is you need to agendize it, have it discussed so the public can really see. And I agree with him. The public should be making calls.
And what did
letters.
Mr. Sugar have to say to your suggestion? Was he about to leap in and do that? After all, the agenda gets made up in 2 days.
He would not.
He's the mayor. He has to make up the agenda.
Yes, he does. He also states that all the other council members can agendize items also.
Right, but he won't, is what he's saying, correct?
No, he did not say he would not. He would not actually pin himself down on that. He said that he's thinking of things and that he may agendize something we can discuss.
Heard that before.
Yes, but like I said, I was just going to say, we've heard that before. We'll see on Tuesday. He did ask that we limit our civil disobedience. He says he's afraid of a backlash from the community, that they see too much real civil disobedience. Excuse me. They're just going to decide that we're those raging crazies. Mm-hmm. And
we have a passerby with his pooch. Okay. And tell me, what were you saying to the
I asked the officers this morning, as I passed this gentleman.
This is the gentleman that brought me the chocolate and the egg.
Oh.
No,
so you're contributing to a criminal conspiracy?
Will you arrest my daughters if they come down here and draw sunshine and rainbows in the street? Will you arrest my daughters? Hello.
Think about it. Well, think about it.
Thank you.
Think about it.
Okay, it's about 6:35 in front of the Del Mar. We're talking to.
My name's Ayame.
And you're just back in town newly after how long away?
About 4 years.
And you're on your bike, and before you were without a house?
Yes, I'm still without a house.
You're just one of those houseless people. Houseless but not homely.
Oh, yes, exactly. The woods is my house.
You're a woodsy kind of woman.
Yes.
Oh, woodsy woman. Right, we'll get into this. So how things differed 4 years ago? You said police were tracking folks around in the woods? What was that?
There were a lot of nights when people would be sleeping out in the woods, and they'd be woken up with flashes in their face from cameras, and the cops would be taking pictures of them and then give them like $350 tickets, something like that. This was back when the Mission was still going on down the street, and it's closed, and then they started arresting people for sleeping on the streets because the Mission was closed and they had nowhere to go. So
how long did you stay during that period of time?
Maybe 6 months.
And where did you go
after that? Southland? No, South United States.
So you've been in Mississippi? Picking cotton, perhaps?
No, just migrating with the weather, you know, staying out of the rain.
And you're back here. What brings you back to this neck of the woods?
Just see what's going on, hang out at the ocean for a little bit.
Hey, man, where's my hug?
Have you gotten a ticket today yet?
No, and maybe tomorrow we're going to be back with the ticket.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, it's the same fight against the sleeping ban that was going on when you left 4 years ago. This time, however, we seem to have a little more oomph in it because the city council is revealed as the same old gang of clowns running under new labels, unfortunately. We had the mayor down here today, and when he was asked to make a statement on a homeless situation on tape, he started walking off. And that's pretty much the reaction of the city council. They left the last time we had a protest at city council a week ago. We all laid down in front of the room, and they closed down the council meeting and left. So we stayed, we continued talking. But, so what do you think? How does it look to you?
It looks so far pretty much the same as when I left, except that corner has a big building on it now, whereas that used to be where everyone congregated.
Thank you.
And we're getting to the end of Bathroom Spears Broadsides, but as a final treat, we got a call just moments ago, and this is, I'm talking to you on April 29th, though the day you're hearing this tape is April 30th, from Michael Schmidt, Chamber of Commerce CEO, talking about related developments on the sleeping ban, breaking developments. Here he is calling long distance from Tracy, California.
It's from Tracy?
You got it.
is Area Chamber of Commerce CEO Michael Schmidt. Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm about to try to take off for a little one-day vacation myself and recording this show before I leave.
Well, good for you. You probably deserve it.
I would have to agree with you. You, on the other hand, have been working pretty full-time around the issue of safe sleeping areas, and most recently, I guess at the urging of David Silva, you came out for suspending the sleeping and camping bans in areas distant from the residential and business areas. Is that accurate?
Pretty close. What I was thinking was that doing the homeless census count, we know that there's places that are on the outskirts of the city as well as probably in the city that are not near residential neighborhoods or business districts where homeless people are currently sleeping overnight. And it just strikes me that until the city can come up with a long-term solution or they can actually announce that they're ready to move the armory in other locations, why not just go ahead and make those locations in the interim state, have a moratorium on the camping portion of the ban, allow people at least to sleep there overnight until we can come up with a long-term solution. It just seems like a logical thing since people are already there. They're not disturbing anybody. From my understanding, they're pretty much being pretty responsible overnight sleepers, and why not give it a shot?
What's the reaction been of the council? I know that Mayor Sugar commented at City Council on Tuesday that he thought this indicated a real change in the wind, and Cynthia Matthews then immediately moved to correct him to say, oh no, this is just Mr. Schmidt speaking for himself. But is there a change in the wind, or are you just a wild rogue cannon?
Well, I may actually be the wild rogue cannon. I don't know if there's any real change in the wind. I think the change in the wind we're looking for is on the part of the council. The business community has already made a proposal some weeks ago now, and it's been sitting and ready to go to the table to again to begin to make an important, what I think is first step, at least in moving in the right direction on this issue. And so I think the change we need to be looking for is from the council to actually sit up and say they're going to do something. After reading the homeless issue task force report and some of the recommendations, I would hope that we would not have to wait till May 24th to hear what they're going to do, but I understand that they're trying to set up something that includes all jurisdictions, the cities and the county, and possibly will take that long to do. But it would be nice to hear something in the interim on the part of the council. So I think the change I'm looking for is on the part of the council. I think the business community has already said we're willing to move on this issue. How about you guys?
Well, you've spoken to Mayor Sugar, and I guess you were in a committee meeting on the living wage with Councilmember Tim Fitzmaurice. Getting any clues or indications from them what their thoughts are on this stuff?
Well, in my meeting with Tim Fitzmaurice, I was kind of surprised to learn that apparently Keith has not shared a whole lot of his thinking that he's at least shared with me and others on this issue with other members of the council, excuse me, at least with Tim. It seems like Tim was totally taken aback when I had mentioned to him that he said that he has been able to move forward with the armory to get year-round usage, and that and other issues that Keith had mentioned to me. So it seems that we need to hopefully Keith will be talking to the other council members to at least let them know what he and I guess Catherine have been working on a more aggressive manner.
Well, I know that it's kind of strange. I assume Tim was in the room when I gave my oral communication speech around the time when you gave your email talking about suspending the sleeping and camping ordinances. I essentially commended Sugar and the activists for getting the armory open on a year-round basis, and then cited you as my source, because apparently you had talked to Mayor Sugar the evening before the last city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tim was in the room. Maybe he was, having a drink.
I'm assuming that's why he asked me the question, because when we were sitting in the meeting on the living wage, we had just finished up our conversation, and that's when he asked me, what's this about you and the camping ban issue? And I reiterated the business proposals and then reiterated what Keith had told me, and that's when he said, well, that seems to me that he hadn't heard anything from Keith yet. And I said, well, I would encourage you to contact Keith and talk with Keith, because at least it's what he's telling me, because I've been aggressively calling him to find out where we are on the business proposal that we made some weeks ago.
Hmm. Well, what's the next step here? Do you have anything planned in the next week around this issue? Are you on hold? Are you going to be in there sitting in with us in the city manager's office as we attempted to schedule a meeting with the mayor, Fitzmaurice, and Byers. What's your next...
Well, unfortunately for me, this week is probably one of our busiest weeks for the chamber because we have our annual business fair, Carnival 2000, now for something completely different. That'll be on May the 3rd, this Wednesday, from 4 to 7 p.m.
You're going
to
do Monty Python imitations? Is that it?
Well, they got me dressing up as a clown, so it should be pretty funny. But, so this is a pretty a busy week for me because we've got 120 vendors that'll be coming into the Coconut Grove for this event. But once this is over and we're in, you know, take a breather here and catch our breath, then I'm hoping that you've been able to secure a meeting with them and let me know the time. I will do my best to be there.
Wow. Well, I think you will meet with me probably the day that Fidel Castro embraces Clinton and the Miami emigres. But, you know, you never can tell. Stranger things have happened.
Hell could freeze over.
It could. perhaps it already has. It's hard to tell. Anything else that we should know? What about the armory situation? Keith did not give us a sort of a straight story on that at the council meeting. He didn't really comment on it. But
I was hoping because you gave him the opportunity to step up to the plate because unless he's just shining me off, the story he gave me was that they had secured the year-round usage of the armory. They were able to look at subdividing it. They were looking at vehicle parking up there as well as providing some type of food service. So, and he seemed to be pretty excited about it and said they were just working through the final details. And now that I think about the conversation, I got the impression they were going to be ready to go in less than a month.
Hmm. Well, I know that when I talked to Ken Cole, he hadn't been told about it either, and it's kind of, it could be, as you said, that this is a mayor who plays his cards close to the vest, assuming he has his cards under the vest, hard to tell. I'm hoping he does. Anything more you want to add before we allow you to make some money to pay for this long-distance phone bill?
Well, actually, I'm going to sit down to dinner with my family, so that's about all I can tell you at this point in time. As I know things, I'll be glad to keep you advised if the council members or Keith are nice enough to keep me abreast of what's happening. And, of course, as I mentioned momentarily, if you're able to set up a meeting where we can sit down and discuss this issue and maybe Keith can share with at least the interested parties he's working with on the armory and other issues. By the way, he mentioned to me that he had tried to find a couple of locations but hadn't had any luck with property owners. I mentioned to him that if he wanted to give me the names of the property owners, I would be glad to see if there was anything we could do from the chamber's perspective, but haven't heard anything as of this point in time.
Well, the minute you do, let us know. We'll pass the word on to the broader community. We've been talking to Michael Schmidt from far away Tracy, still not being able to bite into his meal, but I think we're about to let you go there.
Okay, thank you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot.
And that's it for Bathroom Spears Broadsides, the recorded edition, April 30th. Any questions about the show or anything you want to have on the next show, give me a call, 423-4833, and come on down to the protest at City Hall. We should be there starting Monday at noon throughout the day inside City Council offices. Thanks for being with us. Spanish soil.
they fell, nobody would hear their sad warning. So here's a song to those who are gone with never a reason why. And it's toast of the one at the end of the line, and it's toll of the bell for the next one to die. In old Alabama, old Mississippi, two states of the Union so often found guilty. They came on the buses, they came on the marches, and they lay in the jail, or they fell by the highway. So here's a song to those who are gone with never a reason why. And a toast of the one at the end of the line, and a toll of the bell for the next one to die.
Mm-hmm.